Is this the gay chat line?
This is the Grapes of Rad, show number 31. And let me tell you, the special word of the show is 31. So every time you hear the number 31, scream real loud. Thank you for joining us, listener. I'm Ben Parsons. Hello, Aaron Mason.
Swine flu.
Aaron Mason, although he has contracted swine flu, nonetheless is joining us here in Studio B.
Correct.
I thought about doing the show by myself, running back and forth, microphone to microphone. But he got himself out of bed and he is here.
Yes.
He's here and he is not queer.
Nope.
But that guy called looking for the gay chat line, possibly.
Yes, I am a little under the weather.
Oh, I thought you were going to say.
But, no. No. So I may be a little subdued. If I laugh too hard, I start hacking up pieces of my lungs.
Yes!
So I'm going to try and keep that to a minimum because it is uncomfortable at best.
We are both stoked about the show this week.
Yes.
Because the content, because of the feedback.
Yes.
The listener went crazy on the voicemail.
Awesome.
The listener has gone crazy on the Facebook, on the email. A cavalcade.
A veritable cornucopia.
An avalanche. Feedback.
Yeah, guys, thanks a lot.
Not the Neil Young kind of feedback.
Not so much Harvest Moon.
Right.
More, thank you for the voicemail.
Indeed.
That's beautiful. Yeah, man, I'll let the music finish. I can be civil.
That's right.
We got great, great voicemails. We have Hey Bartender this week. We have some awful poetry coming at you. It's going to be huge. I got to start, however, with some updates in the Grapes of Rad universe.
Indeed.
The Death Pool had some movement this week. Unfortunately, it was scoreless movement. But yesterday, God, this is going to be a good one, friends.
He didn't get a lot of sleep.
No, I woke up at 1 o'clock in the morning and was awake until 4. I couldn't fall asleep.
You don't even have kids.
No. I'm so upset.
Right?
I didn't pass out taking a whiz, though. So, point me.
Wait. I should get a point for doing that. I mean, how many people do you know that have done
Yeah,
that?
That's true. You got like 10 for doing that.
That's right.
I just have one for not doing
that's right.
That. Yeah, so B. Arthur died Saturday afternoon after we recorded, pretty much while I was editing, episode 30. Sad state of affairs. I loved B. Arthur. Listener Sean, star-buying listener Sean, had an all Golden Girls bench on his death pool. And possibly because it was out of the blue, possibly because he's a sucker for continuity, I'm not sure. But she remained on the bench, and hence, no points could be awarded.
Yeah, no points for the bench.
But keep your eyes out, folks. People are getting sick. People are going to the hospital. It's that time of year. Maybe a celebrity will die from the swine flu. And they will be on your death pool list. No.
Not going to happen.
Can't die from that if you have money.
You can't die from that because it's not real. Dude.
Hit me with it.
Dude, we stopped teabagging. And now we're like, everyone panic.
Oh,
we're going
God,
to see how
I
many
know.
Times we can use the word pandemic.
I know.
During a 14-minute newscast.
Oh.
And then halfway through the week, start admitting that it's made up. but keep reporting on it as if it's not. Like, which one is it, dudes?
Yeah,
is
somebody.
Is it made up or
somebody.
Not? Yesterday, Mel was on her laptop and she's like, wait a minute, only like 7 people have died of this? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. When they were,
she was blown away because she had just been hearing the news report.
Because 30 fucking thousand people a year die of influenza in the country.
Or and just getting hit by lightning
has
for
killed 7. That's more than I've heard. I'm so upset about it. When I went to the, I went to a doctor on Thursday, which was probably the first time in 5 years. Whoa. Other than, I think the last time I went to a doctor was when I broke my arm.
I don't know if that even counts. That's
and then yeah, right.
Like that's well, like was it an ER? I mean,
no. I went to this work. I was in Florida when I was landscaping, right. And I went to that workman's comp guy who was awesome. And then I went to a specialist, and then we were just moving up to New Jersey when that happened. So I did some physical therapy in New Jersey, but never really saw anybody. And then a few years ago, Megan made me go to get blood work done, because I don't need, like, I don't know what blood type I am.
Oh.
And I went, and the nurse
type awesome
jabbed me, that's right, jabbed me 3 times and couldn't get any blood out. And she's like, well, that's it, I just stick people 3 times, and then if I can't do it, here, go to this lab, have this done.
Oh.
And I just looked at her like, you understand it took me like 3 years to sit down in this chair? Like, I'm not going anywhere else. And I told him, like, I won't. Bye.
Go get the phlebotomist.
No. A what?
Phlebotomist.
What's a phlebotomist?
I think that's someone who's good at taking blood.
Really?
I think so. Wow. I might have made that up. Listener?
I love having the listener help explain
anything,
explain
any
things to
any
us,
irresponsible actions that we take, anything we can't explain,
I'm not
going to
look something up.
Understand.
Clearly.
Like, I'm not prepared. We have feedback. We got, dude, were you going to play the voicemail about the boob graze?
No, I was not.
Because that one was great.
That's on the shelf.
We'll,
along with some other excellent.
We'll tease that one.
We did get some great feedback on the Facebook group. Some varied feedback.
Yeah, yeah.
There's
of
a
course.
Discussion thread about the boob graze, and a few ladies spoke up and had some pretty differing opinions, which I liked very much.
I was not surprised. I was hoping for a uniform, like, please do this. Please do this.
You
no.
Would. You would.
Of course not. Of course not.
That is what you're looking for.
We need a wider survey.
Speaking of surveys, I'm back to the doctors now. It's Thursday morning. I'm sitting in the lobby. I must have heard the word swine 13 times in the 20 minutes I was filling out the stupid paperwork. And I get in and I'm talking to the nurse, and I hate doctors. This is something. Go to aaroniselonline.com. And the post previous to the swine flu post is the one about how much I hate doctors. Not you surgeons or EMTs or people who aren't actually doing things, but you general practitioners who sit people down and do absolutely nothing for them and then charge them a bunch of money. So I go to this place, and first of all, it's a clinic. And I'm not trying to sound like a douche, but I don't like going to doctors that treat poor people. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
I'm not trying to be a dick, but
no,
but
there's
when I'm
a reason.
There,
there's a reason that
yeah,
we have clinics because some people don't have health insurance, like me.
Right,
and the people that do don't have to go there. So right for
right.
a reason.
So I couldn't get in anywhere else.
Yeah,
and I was dying earlier this week. So. I'm in there, and I'm looking to my right, and there's, like, the code charts, like, blue, green, red, yellow, for, like, intercom. Like, blue is, like, a homeless man is acting crazy. Come restrain him.
Someone just took a like, shit on man. The reception desk.
Yeah, seriously.
Code brown.
Yeah.
You guys, if you have a poster on the wall that explains what they all are, why not just get on the intercom and say, someone just took a Shatner on the reception? Like, we can decode it. It's right there. If you say code orange, I'm just going to walk over and be like, oh, there's a dead guy. Like, You have to memorize them or it doesn't work.
Ugh. Yeah, it was about as worthless as I expected. I tried to have a little fun while I was there, and I attempted to get a medical marijuana permit, but that fell through. That didn't work.
How did that conversation go?
I was just like, well...
Hey, dude.
I told the nurse... It was a lady. First of all, it was this woman who, in the, I don't know, let's say 5 to 10 minutes she was sitting down with me, looked at her watch at least 10 times.
Ooh.
And just sped through everything. So I'm like, well, this is great. I feel well taken care of. Thank you. And I just came in with this litany of medical issues that I have because I don't go to doctors. Right. So I'm like, let's bang this all out in one shot. So I went in and I'm like, well, while I'm here, like, let me see what I can get. I was just like, well, I have this chronic pain. I turned my neck for them and I showed them that this is how far I can move my neck. And I mentioned I have a friend who broke his neck who makes fun of me because his has more range of motion than mine. And I was like, yeah, and I kind of have, like, I have some pretty serious, like, social anxieties, and I get bummed out a lot, and all that's pretty true. And she wrote me a prescription for massage therapy and counseling. I'm like, lady, I don't think you understand what I'm aiming for here. Like,
did you lead with this?
No, I didn't.
Okay, good.
No,
because
no,
I'm like,
that's not my opening.
That's the reason that they didn't treat you very well. You walked in and were like, where can I get some bud? Somebody roll me a J.
I just thought it'd be fun to, like,
my neck hurts.
Hang on the wall next to the star register, my medical marijuana card, but it didn't work out.
They were not following. Did you wink at all? Did you do this?
Get it? Wink. No. They were having none of it.
I expected rejection. Mary Jane.
Yeah. It was I mean, I expected, you know, that was for shits and giggles, but
good work, dude.
Yeah.
Were you thinking about the show when you were doing this?
I was like, well, this will be a good story. At least I can say I tried.
Experiment. I loved.
I was hoping it would work. Because I was like, it's Wallingford.
You went,
like,
to the doctor for the first time in 5 years, and like halfway through, you switched into like, what would be entertaining for the show?
Yeah,
that's dedication, dude. Thank you.
I do what I can, man. I'm living the dream here. That's right. So, all that to say, I'm on the mend. I was out doing yard work yesterday, but they, no. I mean, they don't care.
Yeah.
She basically her response to the weed topic was basically, well, you don't need to medicate. Like, she basically referred to medication as a crutch.
Right.
And was like, no, you just need to talk to somebody.
Right.
I'm like, well, people need medication sometimes. And I'm like,
we're studying that
personal
right now.
Information. Yeah. Like, I'm pretty sure I'm a candidate for something. Mm-hmm. I mean, I definitely have a few issues, slightly more than normal, but whatevs.
It's a pretty huge, I didn't realize how huge of a deal it is, but it used to be, the worldview in medicine was this modern worldview of like, just fix the problem, whatever the symptoms are, fix the symptom. And, you know, so then that's how they ended up with crazy stuff. Like if somebody's pregnant, they come in and knock her out, take the baby out. She wakes up 12 hours later. She has no idea what happened. Like crazy, mm-hmm. crazy stuff.
Wow.
And so, you know, that's how people ended up getting addicted to pain pills and all kinds of so much of that was happening. And then they were like, wait a minute. If we get people into therapy, massage therapy, talk therapy, whatever, mm-hmm. then like they're actually getting better instead of just taking like drugs, which definitely is needed. My hand is in the air.
Right.
But I think the idea is if you're functional enough to get anything useful out of those kinds of therapies, then you start them and see if you still need medication. But if you can't even get to the therapy, then they'll be like, take some of these after they start working, get your ass into the, you know what I mean?
Okay.
Like,
yeah.
Cause
maybe that's what I need to do.
Yeah. Get worse.
Uh-huh. Well, it's so much easier.
what,
so lazy.
What do you mean? What happens with the what are you talking about? Social. What did you say? Social
anxiety?
Yeah. What is that? What happens
with me?
Yeah.
I don't go out a lot. When I do, I don't go to places that are very crowded or have loud music or anything that's not. It all stems from. See, I think about this stuff a lot, mm-hmm. so I kind of.
Yeah, me too.
I'm not really into counseling very much because we're just going to have the same conversation I have in my head. But
that's probably not true.
It all stems from control issues. Like I have some pretty serious control issues where I need to be in control of what's happening. So when I'm in environments where I have to relinquish that forcibly, whether it's too loud and I can't hear what's going on, or there are too many people and I don't know what these people are doing and mm-hmm. I'm just kind of I pretty much just panic and like I leave places. Like Megan and I go out with some friends and we went up to Capitol Hill a few weeks ago to go see John Williams' band and I had to bail. I was there for maybe 20-25 minutes.
But you go to a lot of shows, right? I mean,
mm-mm.
No?
Not a lot.
Oh. You just really like music.
Yeah. I just,
okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. I had this impression of you like constantly going, but now that I think about it, it doesn't. Uh-uh. I don't really either.
We should have a counseling session. Benjamin, maybe student.
Maybe we are. Well, that's probably why you don't like going to the doctor.
That's a lot of why I don't like going to the doctor. That and they're idiots.
Hello. Saying hi for Joanna right now.
Hello.
My wife, Joanna. This is John. I have to say that we are regular listeners of the show, and we're actually a little bit behind right now. I'm, I don't know if it's like number 27 or 28, but whatever it is, it's just pissing me the hell right off. This is ridiculous. It's goddamn ridiculous. Ben, my friend, Ben, I know you, you know me. You need to get your shit together, brother. And you need to come back to Shelton. Because Shelton is where it's at. I'm tired of your fiddly farting around, pretending like you don't like this town. Because this is where your heart's at. It's where your family's at. And this is your goddamn roots, brother. It's your goddamn roots. So if you don't come back to it, I'll be pissed off. You're going to have hell to pay. And Joanna's going to hunt you down. I don't know what that means, but actually, I kind of do know. I do know what that means, and that's big time trouble. So you better get your shit together, brother. More than I just said, you're in trouble, my friend. We'll talk to you later. Goodbye.
Thanks a lot for calling in, John.
Johnny Will.
My apologies. I think due to that, I would like to share an Olympia story instead of a Shelton story this week.
Alrighty.
I would like to veer away from Shelton a little bit.
We were in Olympia once.
The reef has the worst coffee I've ever had. A pilot was shook up, but otherwise apparently unhurt Friday when his single-engine airplane crashed into a lot full of portable toilets.
I'm sorry, what?
Just short of the Pierce County Thune Field Airport. The plane... Okay. The plane took off. He got about 150 feet in the air, and his engine quit running, Sheriff spokesman Ed Troyer said. He tried to turn around and come back and land, but he didn't quite make it. The plane hit a fence, flipped over, and landed upside down on top of the portable toilets, which were stored just northwest of the runway. The honey buckets kind of cushioned things, said an employee. They were the big ADA approved ones. I think they may have saved his life. You know, the super wide, like, wheelchair accessible portable toilets? Dude.
Yes.
Dude.
Yes.
I believe it takes quite a while to get to be licensed to fly a plane like that. Like,
yes.
Listener Sean, Seattle Sean, has his pilot's license. Mm-hmm. I would not go through all the time and work that it would take to do that. But this kind of makes me want to, just so that I could crash into something awesome. Like, you are crashing. And here's the thing. I've said this before. I don't know if I've said it on the show. If you are in a plane that's going down, aim for something awesome. Like, maybe something that you live through, which is awesome. Or just, if you know you're not going to make it, just aim for something awesome.
Like the electric plant or just something something that's going to be rad.
Or the sausage factory. Like, whatever, you know, like, just something that will sound great. If you know you're going to die, make the headline as awesome as it can be. And maybe you'll live, which will make it even awesomer.
Yes.
So this dude is, like, trying to get back to the runway. He hits a fence. His plane flips over. Oh, and it lands upside down on top of a huge stack of porta-potties.
Yeah.
Known as honey buckets in the Pacific Northwest.
Yes.
The giant wheelchair accessible.
Dude, that's how to go out.
He's fine.
And he's fine.
He's like, well, I'm sure, like, what happened? Like, everything stops moving, and you hear the engine doing that noise that it always does in the movies. And you're, like, looking out the window upside down, and you're like, where am I? And then you see that little pipe that comes out, the little smokestack that comes out the top of the porta potty, and you're like, doesn't look like I'm on the ground. Why is there blue water everywhere? Dude, if I had seen that happen,
oh my God,
I would have shit my pants laughing.
Yeah, you would have.
Hey.
All right.
We have a voicemail about that, don't we?
All right. This can take us in about three different directions. I'm going to start with this one. One is my dad, when I was born and growing up as a small child, owned a business where he flew those Cessna-type aircraft, and he would tow banners behind them, you know?
Really?
And he would, yeah, he would fly down to the Jersey Shore and go back and forth along the shore.
Eat at Joe's?
Pretty much. Our friend John McGaw, his first job ever was working for my dad at my grandparents' house, sewing banners and making...
Didn't he, like, hold it or something?
Well,
doesn't somebody have to hold it or something
when
they take off?
I don't remember if they held it, but they definitely, the way it works is my dad would take off and he'd be in the air and then they'd lay the banner out and it had a big ring.
Yeah.
And the plane had a hook and you would swoop down and hook it.
Whoa!
And take off. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, my dad was like a really good pilot. He was
that
in papers
really
and stuff.
Cool.
Like he would do tricks all the time. And
He
knew when we were at the beach. He knew where we were, and he'd do, like, tricks.
Awesome.
For us. And we were like, oh, that's so rad.
That's my dad! All the other kids are like, whatever.
Yeah. So, okay, so that's my dad being a great pilot. My dad being a shitty pilot.
Uh-oh.
My mom likes to tell the story about how when she was pregnant with me, my dad took her and my mum, which would be my dad's mom.
Uh-huh.
So my dad takes his mother and wife and
unborn child
into an aircraft and forgot to switch, like, fuel tanks. So they almost died.
They ran out of gas?
Yeah, they started to.
And then what?
And then he's like, oh, click.
Oh, okay.
Like, homie.
It wasn't like they were fully out. They just, he had to switch
them.
No.
But that's kind
of
like.
He didn't have to, like, emergency land on a field of honey buckets.
No, but that's flight 101. Like, keep an eye on the fuel.
Yeah, it's important.
Might be a good idea.
I've heard it's important. It's more important in an airplane, say, than a car.
True.
What with the air?
What with the air and whatnot? And the gravities. All right, so. So we can go There are two shitting your pants stories. There's me and there's a voicemail. Which one do you want first?
We're going to do them both.
Which one?
I feel like yours is so golden that, like, we should just tease it forever and never actually tell it.
I like that.
It's like it will become lore. Like, did it really happen? No one knows. They say they know. Do they really know?
Thank God there are more people out there other than me who like to shit themselves. I'll be laughing out loud. I'll be laughing with everyone I see. Can't believe how strange it is to be anything at all.
So for some reason, I don't know if I had gotten food poisoning or whatever, but I had the trots really bad. This was about a week ago. And so I'm working with my brother-in-law, and we're making a deck. And so we had to string line the end of the 2x6s in order to cut them off to make a nice line. And so I squat down, and I sharted. Not like full pieces, but enough that when I went and checked, my undies were definitely moist. So I stood up really quick, you know, because something bad was going on. And my brother-in-law was downwind, and I look over, and he's got tears in his eyes, but he's got his head, like, kind of bent over, but he's not laughing. Like, I literally made him cry because it smelled so bad. And so that's half the story. The other half is I get home, and I was working in Olympia, so I get home, and it's about a half-hour drive back to Shelton. So I get home, and I'm like, oh, man, Cindy, I'm not feeling good. I think I'm sick. So I go upstairs, and I grab my book, and I spend, you know, a good half an hour taking care of the trots, you know. And I come back downstairs feeling good and go over to Cindy, and I'm like, hey, you know, how's your day? And she's like, sweetheart, I'm not trying to be mean, but you smell like poop. And I'm like, what? You know, you got a sensitive nose. And so I look, you know, to make sure I wash my hands, everything's good. And so I grab my shirt, and I lift it up to smell, and my clothes smell like poop. That's how bad I pooped in the bathroom. It made all of my clothes smell like shit. And I've never done that before. And I've never even heard of anybody doing that before. So I had to go change because they smelled so bad.
Thank you, listener anonymous.
D's nuts.
So my dad is getting moved from the hospital into inpatient rehab.
Yes.
For a while, which is cool.
What is the status of your dad?
He's doing
the dadis, if you will.
He's doing well. He can get around with a walker now.
Okay.
But it hurts.
Sure.
Because his knee is hurting. So they're gonna keep him in rehab for a little bit to make sure that he can figure out how to do things like if he has to go upstairs or whatever, that kind of stuff, get in and out of a car. They have this like fake car that you
No.
Back. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Pretty cool. They have good stuff.
Nice. Here.
Yeah.
Good.
And so one of the times I've been to visit him, I'm going to visit him later today. He's like, I said, so you've been watching a lot of TV, because he doesn't usually watch any, you know.
Uh-huh.
He's like, oh, you guys. I'm like, what's what? He's like, the late night TV. And I'm like, oh, it's pretty bad, huh? He's like,
no,
there's these ads. I'm like, oh, this is going to be good. He's like, have you heard of Extends?
No.
And I'm like, you mean it's like a pill.
Yes.
You're supposed to take a pill to make your dick bigger. And he's like, He looked like his faith in humanity had been blown apart.
Oh, Ray.
By a hand grenade. Like, he was like, these people, they're like, it's bigger. You know, and I'm just like, it got me thinking. Of course, my thought is, why? Now, these ads are fairly prevalent. I mean, they're in print, they're on TV. Yes. There's always these, like, penis enlargement things. Yep. And I'm like, why is that? Because it's so silly. It's clearly not true.
Right.
But I see thousands and thousands of dollars in advertising going into it. That money's coming from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's buying these things.
Dude, lots of people are buying those things.
It seems like no one's buying them because no one's going to admit
absolutely
to buying them. But dudes, I'm like, wait a minute. Dudes will do, I mean, there's a chunk of dudes out there who will basically do anything.
Yes.
If you tell them it will make their dick bigger. And that's why I'm here to say, I've got a message for you. Listening to the Grapes of Rad will make your dick bigger. maybe we picked on the ladies a little bit last week with the boob grazing.
That's right.
You could go up, I mean... If I saved up a bunch of money and I posted a late night ad that said, dude, come to our clinic, we will cut your nose off and sew it onto your cock, and it will make your cock bigger, there would be a line around the block of fucking retards who are like, I'm ready to go.
You're right,
let's
dude.
Let's go.
Right, dude.
And you are not the guys. This is not the genetic material that needs to be propagating. Like, you're not the ones. Like, no. Like, you need less. I wish you didn't have one. Like.
Dude, you have to realize. Okay.
Like.
There are lots of dudes with tiny wieners out there. Like, you know how we are. Like, we're just like, dude, it's gotta be huge, man. It's gotta be huge. It's gonna be huge. So they take these. What do these pills even do? Just
nothing. I mean, come on.
Like, are they sugar? What?
Oh, like, what's actually in them? That's a good question.
But I mean, like, yeah, what?
Listener.
Send an anonymous email.
I got some advice.
Ask a midwife. The Ask a Midwife page.
Hey!
If anyone has any information regarding penis enlargements, there is an anonymous submission form on the Ask a Midwife page at grapesofrad.com.
I think that for the dudes who maybe are, they're worried about the area, let's take the time and energy and money that you're spending worrying about that, and let's put it into figuring out other ways to please your lady.
Yeah, right?
There's other ways.
Yeah.
You need to figure them out. If it ain't working, don't buy any pills. Listen to the Grapes of Rad.
Because it will make your dick bigger.
And get with your lady. Baby. And be like, lady, how do you feel about this? Puff Daddy, Biggie Smalls, Junior Mafia, represent baby.
Just Because You're a Hair Lip by Zachary Gaynor. Me. Just because you're a hair lip doesn't mean you're making me uncomfortable. I just really hate when people sneeze like that. Just because you're a hair lip doesn't mean I'm purposely not looking at you. I just don't like looking at some people. You have an easier time flossing. I have an easier time whistling.
I have a VHS pick, if I may.
Please do.
Lead off with a VHS pick. Ben, listener, normally does these. But I was reminded of a stellar choice this week, and I would like to bring it to you now. Drop Dead Fred.
Who reminded? Was it Tim? Who reminded you?
The news did, because they're remaking it.
Really?
Yes. They, so Drop Dead Fred, if you're not familiar, was back in like around
1990? 1931. It's the secret word.
Oh, you're right.
Come on,
I didn't scream. I'm sorry.
That was hours ago.
I'm bad at this. Drop Dead Fred is about Phoebe Cates, who has this childhood imaginary friend who, because of this trauma that she has and this psycho beast mother, ends up coming back. She loses her job and her fiance or boyfriend or something in one day. And
yeah.
It ends up coming back. And Rick Mile, this British guy from The Young Ones, which is a funny show back in Britain, he was Drop Dead Fred. It's awesome. It's one of my mom's favorite movies.
Really?
Yeah. She used to call me Snotface when I was younger. And I mean, she didn't actually rub a booger on my face, but she pretended to. And
those were the days.
But they're doing a remake. And at first, my heresy flag went up. And whoa, you know, be careful here.
This is hallowed ground.
It's a controversial casting subject, because I don't think a lot of people really like this guy, but I do.
Okay.
And I think he's perfect.
I'm ready.
His name's Russell Brand. You probably don't know who he is.
Yeah, but I can't picture him.
He's tall, lanky. He's a British guy. Scruffy, like hair, jewel, like kind of looks like a glam rock star from back in the day. But really, a really bright dude. Like, you can tell he really thinks about but he's super, super odd. I think he's really funny. I also know that he annoys a lot of people.
That should fit.
But that's perfect.
Right, right.
For this. So yeah. I'm actually really excited to see it go down. I think he just signed up for it. So it's a little while away from filming, I imagine. But
we're going 2011.
We're going 1931.
Hello, Pee-wee.
Dude, that's my video Prozac. That's my video Prozac.
Is it?
My video Prozac is the YouTube the opening credits for Pee-wee's Playhouse.
No way.
It's
that's perfect.
This morning I was in the shower and I was like, why am I thinking about Pee-wee's Playhouse? It's Saturday morning.
Oh.
And I was singing the song, and Mel's like, that's what I used to do on Saturday mornings.
Me too.
And so I looked it up, and on YouTube, as soon as the music starts playing, I'm like, I'm smiling. The window's like, so listener, if you know what I'm talking about, I mean, eventually this guy got a really bad name because apparently he was like beating off in a porn theater or something.
Yeah, how dare...
And they arrested him. Which is weird. Like, what were the cops doing in there?
Yeah, right.
That's what I wanted to know.
Oh, I gotta... I'm undercover today. I gotta go hang out at the porn theater all day.
I think it was called in by the father of the guy who took the picture of Michael Phelps smoking a bong.
This is like the generational...
That's who called in Pee-wee. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Paul Ribbons.
The new O'Doyle.
We miss thee. Dude, when I was...
I really do, man.
When I was looking at Pee-wee stuff on Wikipedia, I had no idea that Lawrence Fishburne was the cowboy.
Cowboy Curtis.
With the mullet. Like, absolutely. The Jerry Curl.
Absolutely.
So awesome.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Ah! Like, it's just like, everything, like, his face will pop out onto the screen, and you're just like, yes! Like,
dude, I love... I love everything about
so
Pee-wee
great,
Herman,
so
except
great.
Big Top Pee-wee. Wasn't so crazy about that, but you know.
But the first one, I mean,
awesome.
I mean, that bike,
Mr. Herman, paging Mr. Herman. You have a telephone call at the front desk.
That's one of those movies. Go out and see that again if you haven't seen it in a while. If you haven't seen it at all, I don't know if you should be listening to the show, but. If it's been a minute, check it out.
Yeah.
It's so
good.
You
can pause the show, go watch it, and then come back. This is also acceptable as an answer.
I do have a video Prozac as well.
Bring it.
There is a movie starring Matthew McConaughey and Kate Beckinsale, maybe? Maybe. It's called Tiptoes. It's from 2003.
Oh, it's not new.
And the link, well, it's way newer than...
I thought you were talking about another one that was being made.
I saw this. We're going to put the link up on the links page at grapesofrad.com to the trailer.
Right.
I didn't know if this was real or not when I saw this.
Yeah, like, 'cause this is an SNL short. Or
this is... It's about this guy and this girl, and they're going to get married, or they start dating or something, and then I don't really know the plot because I was blindsided by the fact that everybody in this movie...
I've seen it!
...is a midget. You've seen
it? I've seen it!
No!
I didn't realize until right now. I've seen
yes,
it.
Yes, dude! You saw the whole movie?
Yes.
Oh my god, how did you see it?
They have it at Scarecrow.
Ooh.
And our friend Jen was looking through the comedy section and she was like, this is like a romantic comedy about midgets.
Yes! Yes! And she gets pregnant and they're worried it might be a midget because he didn't know.
And we were like, what? It was so bad. It was so bad.
Dude, Gary Oldman is in it and plays a midget.
I'm like, why does this sound familiar? That's how bad it was. Like, you're talking about it for 5 minutes before I remember that I've seen the...
I tipped my drum stool over.
You did. You did.
Excitement.
You did. Oh, my God.
Sorry, dude.
No, that's a better recommendation. That's the best possible recommendation I could have ever hoped for.
It will make you feel better about yourself.
Listener,
sure.
go to our links page and look at this trailer and tell me if you can believe that this was put to film.
You know how old I was when I saw that? 31.
Wait,
not true. Not true.
I need some coffee.
Hey, bartender. It's the drunk part of the show. Hey, bartender. From Boilermakers to Bordeaux. Oh, the skills that you can acquire from listening to your friend and mine, the bartender. He'll tell you just what to do. Hey, bartender, call the voicemail, ask away. William is the bartender, and even if your question's gay, he will answer you with the know-how of 57 Einsteins. Hey, bartender, bartend me tonight. Hey, bartender.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for another edition of Hey Bartender with your bartender, William the Bartender.
What's up? What's up, Aaron? What was that? What was that
How's
accent
going?
You were doing?
It's my radio. It's my top 40 radio talk up voice.
Oh, okay.
Coming at you live, Creed, 97X.
It's kind of gross.
Yeah, it is gross. Last week, I know we talked a little bit about parties, about
yep.
getting tiny little bottles of alcohol, maybe something for mm-hmm. kind of throwing a party.
I just want to get invited to one, to be honest.
I just want to go to yeah. a party.
How about this week, we cover what to do while you're at the party. Like if you're, mm-hmm. maybe if you're not throwing it,
right.
but if you're at a party, some fun options,
like fun games
to do.
Maybe some party etiquette.
I like that.
Okay.
Fire away.
Party etiquette. This is my only thing. Don't be a drunk asshole. Everybody hates the drunk asshole.
Perfect.
Like, whether that's like, if you want to take your clothes, we know a lot of people like to take their clothes off. I don't know why we know so many.
We do, don't.
But don't, like, you know, keep it for like a few hours in. Don't do it right away. Let people drunken up a little bit. But don't be the drunk asshole. That's it.
That's it.
Etiquette.
Done.
Done.
If it's not your bed, don't have sex in it.
Right.
End of story.
Right. Games.
Games.
Edward 40 Hands.
My friend Patty McGee was Edward 40 Hands for Halloween one year.
No.
Fantastic.
Really?
Yep. Duct tape.
I like Patty McGee.
Ready to rock and roll.
Met him at your wedding.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, he's a funny guy.
One of my groomsmen.
So was I, dude.
I know.
The best.
I said that a few weeks ago.
I know. Thank I you. Heard you.
Well then.
Okay.
Let's keep bickering.
Done.
This is entertaining.
I like it.
Next.
Edward 40 Hands. So the game, I don't know if you, like, for all who haven't played it, basically it's taking two 40s, oldie works fine, whatever it is, like two 40s, and then taping them up into your hands. So if you want to put gloves on and then tape the glove to the bottle, that works the best, so you don't have to, like, rip off the tape, you know? But you want one in each hand so that, like, you can't do anything. You can't use your hands. And the rules of the game is you have to drink them, you know, right. Like, and you can't use your hands for anything.
You can't put down a 40 with any alcohol in it.
In it.
You have to finish
you have
one
to finish it, yeah.
before you have use of that
yeah,
hand.
So if you want to use that right hand of yours for whatever reason, you have to finish that 40.
I love it.
And, you know, so.
That's excellent.
Yeah. And to make it real fun, if you put it down beforehand, you could get one taped directly into your mouth.
Oh, I don't know that part.
Oh, I just made that
is
up.
That, is that something you do?
No, I just made it. I made it up, Aaron.
What did I say? What did I say earlier? Was one of the things I wanted to talk about?
You say a lot of things.
I know. I talk out my ass. This is what happens.
Sideways? Sidecar?
Strikeout.
That's
okay.
It.
Okay. This is something to do. It involves marijuana.
Okay.
But we have some listeners who are into that. Mm-hmm. You take a hit from a bong, and then you take a shot, and you chug a beer, and then you exhale. It's called a strikeout. It's a monster.
Oh, man. I don't know if that wouldn't work too well for me. Another one. This is just what I like to do. I like to take random things and place bets on it.
Perfect.
Like, I wouldn't say I have a gambling. Maybe I do. But I like to just
I'll
take
bet you,
things.
You do.
Yeah. Yeah. I just like to bet on things. So my favorite is when I go to a party and listener Bubba's going to be there. Bubba likes to take his clothes off. So I like to place bets with others to see how long it's going to take for Bubba's clothes to come off.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's one.
Over-under's like, usually like 15 minutes.
Right. Yeah. Usually I'm like right around, if I go 15 to 18, I'm right on it. Yeah. And then, you know, before you dry hump somebody on the floor, that's usually about 32.
Excellent.
But, you know.
It's a wonderful time.
Yeah.
There are, of course, there are like standard things to do at parties, mm-hmm. Like card games. You could play asshole or quarters if you want to flip. Do your little quarter
Spin
thing.
Spin the bottle.
Spin the bottle.
Right.
Strip poker. Like, that's all classic drunk stuff. I know people, maybe not necessarily for a party atmosphere, but if you want to get a few friends together, watch a movie, play a drinking game.
Oh, yeah.
I know there's one with Star Wars. A lot of people know and watch Star Wars. You have to take a drink every time somebody says something pessimistic, like "this doesn't look good" or something along the lines
of "shit, man, this ain't right."
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And every time a stormtrooper's armor is completely ineffective, you have to take a drink.
Oh,
there's a lot of
or for every shot of fun that like misses that. One of the heroes.
Yeah. Oh God.
Yeah.
I know also, this is kind of like the king of movie drinking games. There's a British film, I think it's from the 80s, it's called With Nail and I.
Okay.
Some dude named With Nail, and then some guy named I. It's an odd movie.
Wait, his like E-I or E-Y-E?
No, I. The letter I.
Okay.
With Nail and I.
Okay.
And this guy drinks a phenomenal amount during this movie, mm-hmm. and it's this huge cult hit in Britain. Most people, the first time they ever see it is when they do this drinking game,
which is
to take drink for drink what this guy drinks during the course of the movie. Now,
damn,
it's impossible to finish.
Like, what are some of the things here, that he drinks?
I'll hit you up. I looked this up, and I can tell you that during the course of the movie, he consumes roughly 9.5 glasses of red wine,
oh God,
half a pint of cider, one shot of lighter fluid, 2.5 shots of gin, 6 glasses of sherry, 13 glasses of whiskey, and a half a pint of ale. According to Wikipedia,
what, wuss, only that a
puts
half pint.
That puts your blood alcohol at 0.40.
Oh.
So you could die from that.
Yeah, according to some Americans, you know, when they get pulled over.
Unless you live in Florida, you can die from
that. God damn, Florida. Wow.
So that's fun. I've never done that.
What,
I know.
What was the game you were telling me about the other night? You were sitting at like Porch Life 09
with
Bubba. Oh,
we were hanging out on Bubba's porch.
Right, right.
We're playing Traffic.
Okay.
Traffic is when you... Now, Bubba lives by the highway, so there's an off-ramp and there's a street.
It's a classy joint.
You basically decide who gets what color, and whenever that color car passes, you take a drink. Whenever something happens, like somebody gets pulled over or a bus passes or something, you have to finish your drink.
Whatever that is.
Or if you see, I know they play, if you see the cops, you spit. Like there's just, you can kind of make up rules. It's real loose. You can kind of roll however you want to roll. But
how long does it take for people to get drunk?
We played for a while and we got really drunk. Mm. So
who had aquamarine? That's what I want to know.
I had yellow because I was like, yeah, nobody's coming by with yellow. I'll just drink whenever I want.
Oh God.
I forgot about cabs.
Yeah.
That's a bad move.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, buddy.
Word.
Thanks for playing the bartender game with us, listener.
Mm-hmm.
William the bartender works at Flowers. You know that now.
Yep.
Come on. Go there. Pay him. And drink fantastic drinks that he makes. And we'll see you next time. Thanks, Will.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, bartender William. Thank you very much. Was that a cat?
Yeah, it's one of my cats.
Is that a cat getting raped?
No, that's a cat wanting to go outside. My life.
So I've been enjoying, I'll admit it. I'm a big enough man to admit that I've been enjoying the Twitter lately.
Thank you very much.
What I needed to do was, I just needed to follow a few more people.
That's right, see?
And then there was like this tipping point where I'm like, oh, now I'm not just hearing from the same four people over and over. I'm hearing from more people like, oh, this guy, I haven't heard from this guy in a while. That's great.
Are you an assimilation of information type of guy? Like, do you just like to get info from different people?
I just like to not be bored.
Yeah, I hear that.
But I got Corolla on the Twitter.
Oh, yes.
Which is good because this is an interesting thing they do with his show that we should think about. He will tweet when they're recording their show so that people can Skype in and have conversations with them during the show.
Oh, that's interesting.
Interesting way to do it because everybody gets the update and then they can call in or whatever.
Huh.
So if we had a Skype thing or a phone number set up, we could say, hey,
interesting.
Call us right now or whatever, you know.
Hey, you know what? Listener, listen up, listener. I think we came to a conclusion about how to present the voicemails.
Yeah, yeah.
Forgot to mention this earlier. So here's how we're going to do it, or at least try to do it. I'm going to try to put together a midweek supplement, like a sort of instructional audio presentation.
It's kind of like the public, if you were in public school, and they showed they showed a reel-to-reel film about, like, this is how you should, when your neighbors invite you over for dinner, this is how you should act at the dinner table.
Yes.
And they're like, keep your fork on the outside and don't, you know, put your napkin here and don't do this, you know, that like that, right?
Yes. That's exactly right.
Will it have a muted trumpet?
Oh, it's got to.
I like that muted trumpet sound, like, wah, 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 you know.
I'm going to write that down. It needs cheesy, like, clangy 70s theme music.
Oh, okay.
But listener, so we're gonna package them. I'm probably going to make them, I don't know, maybe like 15 or 20 minutes, put them out every couple weeks. I'd like to group them in some sort of a theme, or when we get a certain number of them. But call the voicemail, and holler at us if you know how to do something. If you haven't done that yet, give it a whirl. If you have, feel free to do it again. It's fine.
Right now we have enough to do a genitalia one.
Yeah.
Apparently a lot of people are interested in this area.
Oh, you people. Themes, I don't know. I don't know yet. We'll see how it happens, but it depends on you.
It's up to you.
Listener.
Call the voicemail. Tell us how to do something.
We'll make it. Speaking of telling us things,
oh, yeah.
What I have here.
Yeah, yeah. I heard about this on the Twitter earlier this week. My curiosity was aroused.
Well, let me flaccidicate your curiosity. Last week we talked about massages, and we heard some responses, a few voicemail messages about, you know, is it weird if you're a dude and you have a woman do it, and what's the situation? And I got an email from a friend who basically, I think, nailed it as far as I'm concerned. He says, so I've had this exact conversation about massages that you and Ben had on show 30.
Who is this?
It's my friend Tim.
Super Tim?
Not Super Tim. It's
different
another Tim. I know
all
like 100 Tims.
Shoot.
Not Tim from California either. And I had he had the conversation with a girl. And basically, it's more about the type of massage and not so much comfort with sexuality. So he's never had a massage with a male, and he requests females. Because a massage for him is a relaxing experience, and a female's hands are generally more softer and soothing, and I guess like you just kind of, you know, there's not that thing in your head.
So you tense up when a dude's hand is in between your thighs.
Sure, why not? But the girl that he spoke to said that she gets massages from females too for the same reason.
That makes sense.
He had to have physical therapy for his shoulder after a surgery. And when he was stretched / massaged, it was always better with the male because of the sort of more strength type vibe that that was needed. So he basically says, if the massages are about relaxation, like a Swedish thing or something, then a female might be better. But if you like the deeper pressure, the deep tissue type stuff, you might prefer a male. Or if you like cock, then a male is for you. So...
That I like that. I not the I like the philosophy. So he's kind of saying if you need like some kind of intense sports massage.
Yeah, right.
Maybe go for a dude or a large woman.
Yes.
And if you're going for the tension relieving, you know, therapeutic kind of thing,
I just need
maybe
to chill
go
out.
for the woman.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
I'm down with that.
Sounds good.
I like that. Thanks a lot, Tim. Appreciate it.
I'm imagining this giant, giant massage therapist woman with the hair lip. Thank you, Zach.
Are those chips? By Zachary Gaynor. Me.
Are those chips or beetles? I ask because they're next to the dip. I don't normally have chips. Gosh, I'm so embarrassed. You probably think I'm weird. I should just try one, right? Okay, they're probably chips.
So, Grandmaster Zach... the awful poet, exists in a different sort of plane of reality than the rest of us. And if you're interested in finding out more about it, please visit treatloaf.com. Treatloaf is a humor site dedicated to captions and clip art.
Well said.
And it will make you laugh. I'm learning about this in my abnormal psych class. There's this test you can do. It's a projective psychological test where you look at a picture and you say what's happening in the picture, and it's called a thematic apperception test. And sometimes awful poet Zach will have you write in what you think the caption should be.
Yes.
And mine are always super mad. Like my person's always yelling and screaming obscenities, which I think means I'm angry.
Did
listener,
I?
Do you think I'm angry? That's because I'm fucking angry.
Rage!
Is there something wrong with that? Debatable. Is it a fact? Yes, it's a fact. I'm angry. Deal with it.
Did I tell the story on the show about the time I was in a psych class and a guest speaker came in and did that?
No, you told me, but it was upstairs. I think,
listener, here's what happened. I was in a maybe like three or four years ago, I was in a psychology class, just a 101 that I had to take. And the professor was a total idiot. And it was horrendous. And I hated the class. But she brought in this speaker who was a professional, like she was a therapist. This is what she did, whatever. And she passed out this packet that had some of those pictures. And we turned to this one and we looked at it. And it was this kid, like in a corner in a jail cell or some sort of a bar. It wasn't really a jail cell, but that's what it looked like to me or whatever.
Sure.
And so I don't remember what I said, but
probably something along those lines.
Along those lines, if that's what the picture was, yeah. Something like that. And so she's calling on a few people, and they're saying, you know, this and this and that. And I'm like, man, these guys, like, that's not at all what this looks like. And I say what I think, and then she like stops, and she looks at me, and she's like, I'd really like to talk to you. And I'm like, that really wasn't the answer I was looking for.
I don't feel good.
But and
she's
then
like,
she
do you
left.
Have any sharp objects in your pockets?
Yeah, but who says that and then leaves like that? Yeah. The class was over and she was out.
That's not cool. I wonder if she thought you were messing with her.
I don't know.
There's sort of a bell curve on these things. Like, there's a bunch of responses that are considered normal. And then, like, if you know, like, with the Rorschach ones, for example, there's some things where if you respond in a certain way to this one, if you look at this one and it really upsets you and you're like, I don't know what's going on, then, like, there's a strong correlation between that response and psychosis, for example. So different people with different things going on respond certain ways to certain – it's just so interesting.
Huh.
And, so that's – you should probably do it again. Have somebody give you that.
Word.
Do it on Treat Loaf.
Treat Loaf.
Dude, it's time to let loose. It's time for That's Messed Up.
Hey, guys, what's up? All right. I'm an Apex sales rep. I'm friends with Sarah. Actually, I'm her brother. I'm going to see how many times I can say That's Messed Up with a customer. All right, so hang with me. Hey, done, sir. Sorry, That's Messed Up. That dog is crazy. How you doing? Are you the homeowner? Cool. I'm Zach. This is Sarah. We're here. We were for Apex. Have you seen a sign like this before? No. You never seen a sign like this?
No.
That's messed up, man. What we're doing is we're actually going around the neighborhood, and we're giving out a promotional for homeowners that don't have security systems.
Oh, I know we're going to have security.
Oh, why not? You get this?
Yeah, she wakes me up.
Really?
Bless him.
Oh, that's messed up. You got a keep carrying a gun around? You got kids.
They know how to shoot too.
That's crazy right there. All right, well,
yeah, security system that way. Everybody got a gun.
That's messed up, man. All right, well, have a great day. So I think I said That's Messed Up about 8 times. The crazy hick. Crazy hick wanted me to, you know, he's using a gun. All right, guys, like your show. Later.
Thank you.
What a good idea.
Dude.
Well done, Zach.
That is, that's one of the reasons I will never be in sales.
Gun owners?
I just can't do shit like that with a straight face. I would just start laughing and then they would shut the door. I'm like, my product sucks. I'm sorry. Seriously, thank you. And that was recorded. I guess he had his phone out during
that
or
I guess
something.
So.
That's amazing. See, he walked up to somebody's house with his phone calling our voicemail and tried to sell something to somebody while a dog was barking and seeing how many times he could say, that's amazing.
Well done, Zach.
Skills. It is messed up. We haven't done a drunk driver story in a while.
Excellent.
I would like to introduce one to you. It's a woman in Fremont, Nebraska.
Aw.
The population of Fremont, Nebraska. No one knows. A woman was arrested on suspicion. They only have 3 fingers. On suspicion of drunk driving. Suspicion. Tell me if you think that this is founded or unfounded. Sergeant Ed Watts said the woman's car struck a fence as she was trying to turn into an alley Thursday night.
Okay.
The car continued north and hit a utility pole. She then tried to turn into a garage, but struck it. Then went across a yard and hit another fence. Then ran through another fence and a yard, hit a house. And a garage!
Holy shit!
Let me run that by you one more time. She struck a fence as she was trying to turn into an alley. The car continued north and hit a utility pole. Then she tried to turn into a garage but struck it. Then across a yard and hit another fence and then ran through another fence and a yard and then hit another house and another garage. Police estimate the damage at $26,000! Plus $5,000 to the woman's car. Police arrested 58-year-old Janice Brown. She posted, get this, $200 bond and was released from jail.
Honestly?
What? She's not a risk to the community.
First of all, Janice Pinball Wizard Brown.
Her husband's got to be a contractor. The only contractor in town, right? I will wreck all the houses
be the police
and
chief.
All the shit in town. My husband's going to get a bunch of work. It'll more than make up for the $200. $200?
Who at the DMV in Fremont, Nebraska, decided to be cool to give Helen Keller a driver's license?
And a bottle of booze. Like, what? Fence, pole, fence, house, pole, garage, pole, house, fence, yard, yard. Stop it! Oh, man. 200.
I love that. I love that. I unfortunately don't have any. I don't have any driving stories other than this one, which is more of a riding story.
Uh-oh.
This week, a woman in Stuart, Florida, asked a local police officer for a ride. What state? Florida.
Oh, no.
When the officer agreed to take the woman to a payphone because she flagged him down to ask him for a ride, he decided to run her ID before she got in the patrol car. It turns out the woman, who again flagged down a police officer to ask for a ride, had a warrant out for her arrest.
Only one?
And was in possession of a crack pipe. He instead took her to county jail.
You're going to be using the phone in the jail. Okay, so you're like, I need a ride, I gotta buy some crack, there's a cop. Hey! He pulls up. Before you get in, ma'am, can I just have your name, please? Tappity tap, 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 tap. Jump right in. Actually, get in the back seat. Why don't you? Give him your real name. It's a good idea. Get in with the crack pipe in your pocket. At least she didn't flash her titties. She'd be in there for an extra 2 weeks. Dude.
Yes, sir.
This one, I need some input from you on. Was it swine flu?
Ooh.
You decide.
Ooh, it's like a game.
Prosecutors say Galina Rusanova punched and kicked attendants on the Chicago-based United flight. They say she snapped, quote, like a dog, while trying to bite one flight attendant.
What?
You'd think that the other story about someone biting a flight attendant would be the only... Apparently this happens a lot. Was it swine flu? Or the prescription drugs, 2 to 3 bottles of wine, and liquid soap from the bathroom that she ingested?
What? I've never heard of that.
I am going to get on the plane. I'm going to take me some Zannies. I'm going to drink 2 bottles of wine and a bottle of hand soap. And then shit is going to go bananas. Except for with a Russian accent.
I don't know how to say shit's going to go bananas. Bite people on this aircraft.
So what?
Because I'm hopped up on antibacterial soap.
Oh yeah, maybe it was the alcohol based, like,
I'm
maybe
sure
she
it was some,
like,
sort of a sanitizer
Purell or something. She's like 99.9% alcohol. Shit. That's what a Russian person would sound like.
Yeah, exactly.
So was it swine flu or Purell?
I can't. As much as I would love to attribute that to swine flu, I don't think I can.
If I saw that, how many of you, listener, call the voicemail about this? 646-462-4161, extension 03779. If you were on a plane and you saw someone going crazy, trying to bite somebody, how many of you would assume it was a zombie and move for piercing the skull of said person?
Mm.
It's going to be hard to do because if you're on a plane, you're not going to have a lot of piercing objects.
I don't think I'm far from honest here when I say my initial reaction might actually be zombie. If I see someone, clearly she's heavily drugged and intoxicated.
Snapping
so
like a
dog. So she's moving sluggishly. She's got the rage in her, and she's biting people.
Like some soap.
That's a maybe she's frothing
her,
a little bit.
Running down her chin.
That's a zombie MO, man.
Also, Russian. You know you can't trust the Russians.
You mean Boris the sneaky fucking Russian?
If you're on a plane and you think it's a zombie, there's a zombie on the plane, what do you do? I mean, you're not going to have your machete. Do you just jump for the exit door and leave everybody? What do you do? Do you go Captain Sully and save everyone?
Air Marshal.
Oh, good. So you're hoping you're on one of those
protected flights. I'm hoping I'm on one of those Air Marshal flights.
Now, the Air Marshal is a super accurate marks person.
Yes. Look at you.
Doesn't want to pierce the hull of the airplane.
Correct.
So do Air Marshals aim for the head or the body?
I imagine. I
think they'd aim for the body because it's better odds, right? But if they're super trained, then they might just go for the kill shot, you know?
I mean, if people are yelling zombie, which I would get that chant started if I was in this situation, I assume the air marshal would then know I should probably aim for the head.
You'd hope that he or she would have seen some zombie films.
Well, I'm sure they cover zombie outbreak in the rigorous air marshal training.
I don't know, dude.
I'm just saying.
I don't know.
It's a scenario.
Is there a Homeland Security color code for zombie outbreak?
Green. You think that means all good. It doesn't.
Code green!
So check this. I got another Florida story.
We love you, Florida.
A shirtless man. This is another sort of
course.
This is another short
of
sort
course.
Of a short one. A shirtless man wielding a 30-inch wide recycling bin cover as a shield.
Oh, shit, yes.
Repeatedly shouted, never, never, as he tried to get into SeaWorld without paying.
Fuck yeah!
A deputy shot Nicholas Casanova, 23, several times with a stun gun before subduing him. After he was arrested, tests found LSD in his bloodstream. Let me tell you what happened here. This dude, maybe he gets together with some of his buddies. I hope. It's Florida, who knows? But they sat down and said, dude, here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna go to SeaWorld and we're gonna trip balls. And we're going to watch all the fish, and it's going to be awesome. My man takes a little too much and ends up at the gate without a shirt and a recycling bin cover for a shield, and he's just shouting, never. Like, what?
So you're in line with your family at SeaWorld. And there's this dude holding a trash can lid, yelling. I thought you were going to say that the cop shot him with...
No,
I thought,
no.
Actually,
no.
If you read it again, it sounds like you were going to say the cop shot him 23 times.
Yes, yes.
And I was like, overkill.
No,
Florida.
No.
Shot him with the stun gun a few times. Take him down a notch.
Oh, man.
I will never be sober is actually what the full phrase is.
Wow. I'm in love with that.
That guy rules.
Graves of Rad. This is listener Tim out in sunny Southern California. Long-time listener, first-time caller. And listening to your latest show and listening to you talk about what's funny and what's not funny and what's off-limits and what's not capable of being funny, and it reminded me of a little joke somebody told me once. What did the blind, mute, deaf, quadriplegic boy get for Christmas? The answer? Cancer. Worst joke I've ever heard, and if you laugh at it, you're a horrible, horrible human being. Hey, Grapes of Rad, it's Tim again. I don't know what that song was that you played at the end of episode 30, but that song was ass. Please don't ever play that again. All right, it sounded like the song that the Dracula puppet sings at the end of Forgetting Sarah Marshall. Or it sounds like the song that plays over the closing credits of some indie movie about some hipster chick in ironic retro glasses who sits on a fire escape of a brick building and writes poetry all day. In short, don't need it, don't want it. Song is ass. All right. Other than that, keep up the good work. Bye.
Suck it, Trebek. Our listeners are super smart and super funny.
Really? Really? Like, that wasn't a surprise, really. That was... Really? I think that needs to be addressed.
No doubt.
We get fantastic things from you
the
guys.
The voicemail was kicking my ass this week, dude. I was like, who is... Like, so many of them are from people I didn't know, and I was just like, what is going on? It's so funny or so crazy or whatever.
I have two other voicemails that I just want to play so bad, but we don't have time for. But you'll hear them. I just got to editing, and I'm like, these are so good. I want to hear some. Like, I want
totally,
to do more.
Totally.
Oh, thanks
if
a
you,
lot, guys.
If you a little voicemail insider info. If you want to get your voicemail on the show, and it hasn't been on the show yet, call back and leave it again. There's a few things that happen. Sometimes if people call in, it's because there's so many cell phones, excuse me, it'll be a really bad connection. We can't understand you. Like about once a week or so, we'll get one that's just like.
There was,
and
if I may, there was one that listener Sean left who, star buying listener Sean.
Yeah.
Who, he was the one who had B. Arthur on his bench.
Right, right. That was.
And it was all scratchy, so I couldn't play it, but I transcribed it.
Dude.
This goes out to B. Arthur. You were never on the bench of my heart.
Again, funny and intelligent. I don't mean call the voicemail over and over and over.
Intelligent.
I mean, if you left one that you think's good and it's not on there yet, call back the next week, give it another roll. You know, you got to be persistent. It's like when you're trying to get free concert tickets. It's like when you're voting for Pour Some Sugar on Me for number one. Def Leppard, I'd like to vote for Def Leppard, Pour Some Sugar on Me.
Pour some sugar on me in the name of love.
I don't know if I'm going to want to put music under that because that was so beautiful a cappella.
You know how many times I've heard that song?
Dude,
31 million.
I swear to you. I missed it again. So I want to wrap this up with a longer tale. This is a listener submission from guess who? Listener Sean.
Solid.
Star buying listener Sean. The University of Oregon's ultimate frisbee team was the third-ranked team in the nation among favorites to win a national title.
Yeah.
Huge. A feat that's only happened once since the team formed at the UO in 1978.
Oh, wow.
They've been playing Ultimate Frisbee since 1978 there.
No idea.
Right? But the executive committee, a 5-member student board that governs club sports at the university, cut the team's season short on Friday after receiving a complaint that members of the men's team had played naked in a game on school grounds on April 11th. More than 80 people packed a crowded meeting room on campus Monday night as the team appealed that decision. But after close to 90 minutes of testimony, the student board refused to reverse its decision. Quote, if this had been an isolated incident, we would have treated it much differently,
oh, no.
Committee member Jeff Gibbs said.
Oh, no.
It's just become a pattern with them. Here's the deal. In November, the team was put on probation after throwing an end-of-the-season party for more than 200 college ultimate players from around the Pacific Northwest. Police responded to the party house for a noise complaint and found 5 kegs of beer, as well as several minors hiding in the attic. Officers cited 15 people for underage drinking, issued 21 noise disturbances, and handed out 11 citations for furnishing alcohol to minors. The year before, the team was warned after players were found drinking before a fundraiser. Members of the team also received 4 speeding tickets on their way to a tournament in Stanford.
Solid.
Since being placed on probation, the team has traveled with chaperones. Team co-captain, and I found this fascinating, team co-captain Dusty Becker said Monday that while he was sorry, he didn't see a problem with the team's recent behaviors. Speeding, drinking, nudity, they're not bad things, he told the executive committee. To run around naked is just kind of a hippie ultimate thing. We didn't think there was anything wrong at the time.
I'm totally with him.
Okay. I am too, right? First of all, you're at the University of Oregon. So you're high just being on campus.
Yeah.
And there's ultimate frisbee everywhere. And
some
people are going to get naked.
Exactly.
Whatever.
They do that at Seattle U.
Here's what happened. A female trainer present at the tournament later filed a complaint. Her boyfriend showed up. And he was not very happy about it. So he asked her to do something. So it wasn't even that this broad was there, but her tool of a boyfriend shows up and is like, this isn't cool.
Dude.
Harshing the ultimate mellow.
These guys were not... It's like the Michael Phelps thing, but worse. Because it's frisbee. It's fucking frisbee. Like, who cares? Like, I understand that it's exciting and the Nationals and all that. Like, that's cool. Like, I'm... But come on! Like, what do you expect, University of Oregon?
I'm going to tell you exactly who cares. Ready? This blew my mind. I came to the UO to play frisbee, said co-captain Steve Kenton, a senior history major.
Hell yeah.
That may sound silly, but a lot of people do. We recruit players from all over the country.
Oh.
One of them, junior Chris Lowe, transferred to the University of Oregon to play frisbee last spring. He applied at the top 5 ultimate schools in the nation and was accepted to all of them, including Stanford. I chose to come to UO because of the reputation of the team, he said. Not only are they the best players in the country, but they're the most classy on and off the field. Man. Did you know that there are people who are accepted into places like Stanford who turn it down because their ultimate frisbee team is not of the highest caliber?
I don't know what to say. I mean, it's got to be pretty good. It's not even like they're awful, right? Like, Stanford wants you to go to school there.
Yeah.
They've got a pretty good team.
Yeah.
But you say no because it's not the best team.
Yeah.
You go join the best team who's running around naked.
Getting busted wangs, by the cops.
Wangs a flapping. And then you're done. Season's over. You're done.
Yep. Welcome to the University of Oregon.
I hope that guy gets beat up.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, the guy who told on them?
Yeah.
He sucks.
The informer.
The suit.
Ooh, informer. There's another early 90s hit. Informer.
I love that song.
Is that even in English? What's going on in that?
It is. It's Toronto's finest...
Toronto?
White, yes, reggae artist.
I had no idea.
Yeah, he's cousins with one of the guys in the Bare Naked Ladies.
Awesome. Speaking of bare naked.
Why don't they just make a new class of frisbee, like Ultimate Naked Frisbee?
Pretty sure they're the same thing, dude. Mm. Pretty sure they're the same thing.
Thanks again for joining us, listener. We're going to have some supplemental action coming at you in the coming weeks.
That's right.
Some how-to segments, some public service announcements from you to you, produced by that dude, Aaron J. Mason. So don't forget to call the voicemail and leave us a how-to.
That'd be lovely.
What do you want the other listener to know how to do?
It's going to be good. I think I'm really excited about this one. Also, as a production note, the show has been coming out on Saturday evenings for
indeed,
a while.
Indeed.
We're kind of doing this Friday night, maybe Saturday morning type thing, and the turnaround is a little bit much for me. So we're going to start releasing the show on Sunday nights, which just gives me a little more time to actually say hello to my wife on a Saturday.
We like that. We like that.
Which would be lovely.
And listener, another thing you can call the voicemail and do is tell Aaron how much you appreciate the hours and hours of editing that he puts into things like
thanks, dude.
The intros and the music and the editing, and it's crazy. And now he's doing the uploading too. So I am saying thank you to Aaron. You can too.
Thanks, Holmes.
Go ahead. I trust that you just said it out loud in your car or wherever you were listening. That's it, huh?
That's all she wrote.
That was show number 31.
Ah!
That was the Grapes of Rad.
Informer, you know, say that I'm a stormy, I go blame. I like you, bum bum damn. Take the man that says that I'm a stormy, stab somebody down the lane. I like you, bum bum damn. Informer, you know, say that I'm a stormy, I go blame. I like you, bum bum damn. Take the man that says that I'm a stormy, stab somebody down the lane. I like you, bum bum damn. These are them gonna come in and they blow down my door. Rain it come pour through my window, so they put me in the back of the car at the station. From that point on, I reached my destination. Where the destination region out of east detention. Where the look down my pants, look up my bottom. So informer, you know, say that I'm a stormy, I go glam. I like you, boom boom damn. Take the man that says that I'm a stormy, stop somewhere down the lane. I like you, boom boom damn. Informer, you know, say that I'm a stormy, I go glam. I like you, boom boom damn. Take the man that says that I'm a stormy, stop somewhere down the lane. And we keep on bum down, so big on them all, they think them have more power. They on the phone, me say they want a warm. If I want to use it once, and now me call me lover. Love who be calling on the one tell me. I me love you in my heart down to my belly. Yes, and I'm a stormy, I feel cool and deadly. It's the one MC Shine and the one that is snow. Together we all have a Mr. Tornado. Informer, you know, say that I'm a stormy, I go glam. I like you, boom, boom, damn. Take the man that says, say that I'm a stormy, stab somewhere down the lane. I like you, boom, boom, damn. Informer, you know, say that I'm a stormy, I go glam. I like you, boom, boom, damn. Take the man that says, say that I'm a stormy, stab somewhere down the lane. I like you, boom, boom, damn. So, listen for me, you better listen for me, you know. Listen for me, you better listen for me, you know. Bring me the rubber, the rank, the form, the rock and steady. You say that I'm a stormy, the art to cut down. But I'm not in and out of the dance, and me say, where you come from? People, them say you come from Jamaica. But me born and raised in the ghetto, don't know what you have to know. Pure brown people, man, is all a man know. Yeah, my shoes are empty, rapping, and me toes just a show. When me a ball and all the one Toronto, so informer. You know, say that I'm a stormy, I go glam. I like you, boom, boom, damn. Take the man that says, say that I'm a stormy, stab somewhere down the lane. I like you, boom, boom, damn. Informer, you know, say that I'm a stormy, I go glam. I like you, boom, boom, damn. Take the man that says, say that I'm a stormy, stab somewhere down the lane. I like you, boom, boom, damn. Come with a nice young lady, intelligent, yes, she jungle in Ari. Everywhere me go, me never left for a tally. You say that it's snow me, I the rum dance man. Rum it in a dance, I in a nation.
You never know, say that I'm a stormy. I'd be a boom shaker, tell me never lay you down fretting. Now I'm cardboard box. You say that I'm a stormy, I go reaching at the top. So informer, you know, say that I'm a stormy, I go blame. I like you boom boom damn. Take them on the say, say that I'm a stormy, start to stumble down the lane. I like you boom boom damn. Informer, you know, say that I'm a stormy, I go blame. I like you boom boom damn. Take them on the say, say that I'm a stormy, start to stumble down the lane. I like you boom boom damn. Why worry? Why worry?
Man, sitting round coolin' with my dibby dibby girl. Police knock my door, lick up my pal. Rough me up and I can't do a thing. Pick up my line when my telephone ring. Take me to the station, black up my hands. Trail me down cause I'm hanging with the snowman. What I'm gonna do? I'm backed in a trap. Slap me in the face and took all of my gap. They have no clues and they wanna get warmer. But Sham won't turn informer.
Informer, you know, say that I'm a snowman, I go glam. I like you boom boom damn. Take them on the say, say that I'm a snowman, start somewhere down the lane. I like you boom boom damn. Informer, you know, say that I'm a snowman, I go glam. I like you boom boom damn. Take them on the say, say that I'm a snowman, start somewhere down the lane. I like you boom boom damn. Diddly dong, diddly diddly dong, damn boy. Ing boy, ing boy, ing boy.
You're still here? It's over. Go home.
Go.